Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. Hey there, it's Kitty. Today I am talking with Carolyn Dare. She is a Nashville, Tennessee-based pop songwriter and artist, mental health advocate, and certified cat mom. Welcome in, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm excited. Before we dive deep into talking and diving deeper into serious topics, I love to ask questions like, what is something that's a random fact about you that maybe fans or listeners will not necessarily know?
Ooh, okay. So something like a little hidden talent of mine is that I have perfect pitch. So I can hear like if I clank something and I hear like the little note, I can tell like what note it is. Kind of like if you see what Charlie Puth does, you know, he talks about it all the time.
Right.
I can do that too, but I don't really talk about it.
That's so interesting.
It's my little hidden talent.
That's fun. Does that help you with your music abilities and just being an artist?
It really does. I think it helps me come up with my melodies and just like helps me know where to go melodically, for sure.
What an interesting thing. I think that that's quite enjoyable, probably. You can just kind of fit that right into your gift.
Yeah.
So yes. Listening to your music, I've listened to a lot of your music. I actually ran across you when I reached out and I was like, ooh, mental health, because I work with a lot of women in mental health and just allowing people a safe space to tell their story. And there's not enough of that. And so when I dove deep into your music, I could absolutely tell, like it says advocate for mental health, but I could absolutely tell through your lyrics. Can you tell me why that's so important for you?
Yeah. So mental health has always been a part of my life and just my upbringing. I feel like I've always been more of like an emotionally sensitive person growing up. I was very shy and reserved as a child. And, you know, I had adults pointing that out to me. And I've always kind of like lived in this world in a very soft way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people who are highly sensitive like that, you know, are seen as weak and just too much crying, too much softness, too much emotion to handle. And my mental health struggles really started coming to the surface during my teenage years. And I started to really experience a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, just firsthand. And songwriting was always a coping mechanism for me, and just writing in general. I always loved to journal growing up, and it was always just like my way of getting my thoughts from being jumbled up in my head to just out loud and somewhere, just putting it somewhere else. And so music and songwriting, that's always been a coping mechanism for me, and it's a big reason why I love to do it. So that's kind of where my own mental health
yeah,
journey
a good outlet.
Ties into it.
It's a great outlet where some listen to it, which is what I do because I can't really sing or play music. But it's interesting, the whole dynamic of it, because it really can be a healing process from the writer to the performer if there's a difference in that, and then the listener as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always wanted to be a musician? Is it something that you've just always, I know I want to do that?
I was always a really creative kid growing up. It's always been in my blood. And I think I always loved to sing. My mom has like a little baby cam video of me. I think I was like 1 year old, and I was singing I've Been Working on the Railroad, and she got video of it, like me singing it through the baby monitor. So like she was filming the baby monitor and I was like in the
You were
other
in
room
there.
and singing.
You're
And
singing.
so I knew I always loved that. And when I was maybe about like 5 or 6, like first grade, I started writing little short stories. And I remember adults used to ask me if I wanted to be an author when I grew up. And I was like, no. And I started songwriting when I was 11. And so I think that's when things really clicked because it was my love for writing and my love for music and singing. And it was just all tied together. So it just really made
All
sense.
intertwined. I like
Yeah.
that. Was there a pivot point in your life where that switch went off that made you think, I'm going to use this, I've wanted to do this, but now I'm going to write about and sing about my mental health and my experiences? I assume a lot of it is about your experiences.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I love like when the inspiration for my music comes from really real places. And so since I started songwriting when I was like 11, I had no experience in a lot of different areas
Sure.
of life. So there were a lot of times like in my very, very early songs where I was just making up scenarios. And then I started a YouTube channel of my own when I was a teenager, and I started posting original songs on there every week. And there was one song in specific that I wrote about a situation that I went through in high school where a group of girls were just totally rejected me and did not treat me fairly at all. And it's called Outcast, and I think it was like the first song that I posted on YouTube that got a lot of reaction, and it was because it was so real. And I think that was the moment where I kind of realized like it's okay to be vulnerable. And then
Yeah.
there's another song that I also put out called Bad Again, which is just probably the
That's my
most.
favorite, honestly.
Yeah,
I
I
listen to it and I'm
think.
like, oh, we feel this no matter
Oh,
how
yeah.
we are in life. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that song is the most raw, real description of like the things that I go through when I'm experiencing depression, anxiety. And that was my first song to hit 1 million streams. So that was definitely like a sign for me that it's like okay to be
Yeah.
vulnerable. It was really reassuring that like I can say something really raw and very close to the heart and it's gonna be okay. Because
Yeah.
I think we struggle like to express when we're struggling. Like it's hard to admit that you're struggling to other people. But just knowing how well received that song was really helped me a lot.
Yeah, in that song, it talks about basically, if you guys don't know the song, go listen to it. It talks about like, oh, here's this sign. It's getting bad again. Oh, here we go. Because so many times, just humans in general, but any of us who are highly sensitive or struggle with anxiety and things like that, there are signs that it's coming. There are always signs that it's coming. And we're like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. And then it hits you like a ton of bricks and you're like, oh, I knew it. Yeah.
Yeah, and like that song just kind of lists all the symptoms that I experience, and it's really helped me become more aware of those things. So whenever, the sleep starts to slack and I
Yeah.
start to isolate, et cetera, like just all these little things, these little factors in my life that start to shift in a maladaptive way, that kind of brings awareness that it's like, okay, I might need a little bit more support right now.
Yeah. And the awareness that is, I think, a key component in all of it is being aware. So, Is there a specific song that holds more importance to you? I know we talked about a couple of songs already, but is there one that's like that is hands down the most important song that's most important to you?
Yeah, I think Bad Again definitely takes the cake for that one. And then there's another song that I've put out. It's called Where I Used to Be. And that song just kind of holds a lot of special meaning to me because I wrote it probably the darkest time of my life. And it was back in like 2020. I had just gotten out of the psych hospital. I was hospitalized for suicidal ideation. I was going through a really, really hard time, and I was on like a medicine that was really not working for me, and it just all factored into me ended up ending up in the hospital. And I had just gotten out of there, and I think that experience was my rock bottom. And I told myself I will never let myself get this low ever again. I will do whatever it takes to keep my head above water and not fall under the things that I'm struggling with. And so I wrote Where I Used to Be. The perspective is basically saying it's like the hook is I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And so, even though, there's so much room to grow, so much to work on, we're not at rock bottom anymore. Like, it's only onward and upward from here.
Is there a song that you find connects more with your audience?
Yeah, I think the songs that are more introspective and I think the songs that are the most real to me, it translates over to the audience for sure, because I've got like a few songs in the works right now that I've kind of teased a little bit on my socials, and I just get really, really deep interactions from my followers. And even when I go and play those songs live, like Bad Again always touches a lot of people, and some of the things that people say to me after the show about like a specific song about mental health, like those are just like the most meaningful conversations, and it really sticks with me for sure.
Yeah, it kind of gives some reason to everything you've gone through, being able to change someone's life.
Yeah.
And when I was sharing your music with some of my friends or some of my followers, the biggest response, which I thought it was going to be, it's getting bad again, and just some of the others, but the I'm just minding my own business was one that was really impactful, especially for a lot of the women. They were like, oh gosh, I feel that so much because I tend to
Yeah.
just stay in really bad situations. Can you talk to me about that song?
Of course, yeah. So, I was in a long-term relationship, and it was my first like long-term relationship, and it ended, and I found myself kind of like crawling back to the same situation and not setting that boundary for myself to let go and move on. And I think the circumstance was really hard for me to let go because when I broke up with him, and it was a situation where I did not want to break up with him, but I had to. Like, I knew I had to, but I didn't want to. And so it kind of felt like I was battling with myself for a good amount of time, and I still cared so much after that breakup for so long. And I got to a point where this same patterns were happening over and over again. I would see my ex-boyfriend in the hopes that things would improve and like maybe we can try again, or things would get better, and it just never happened. It wasn't what he wanted. And I had to accept that. And now that time has gone on, and you know, it's been years since that happened. Like, I'm like, thank God I started like minding my own business. And so that's kind of like how minding my own business came about, is kind of that realization, like, I can't keep sacrificing like my own sanity and my own energy, you know, in places where it doesn't belong. So.
And I think that song's impactful on many levels because it can be about a relationship, but I think it could be about family. It could be
Oh,
about
yeah.
friends. It's like you have to fight that urge when someone says, "Have you talked to so and so? Did you know this is what happened?" It's like, "No, I'm just
Yeah.
minding my own business. Leave me alone. Just
Not
leave me
my
alone.
circus, not my
Leave
monkeys.
me alone." Right. So I think that one, I was like, I feel that because it's not just, you can write it from the perspective you had, but it definitely plays a role in so many other people's lives through so many different circumstances. So
Yeah, and that's what
really.
I love about writing music too, is that everybody can have their own interpretation of it. It's not just the perspective that I wrote it from, because like obviously I have my own meaning for every song, but it's really cool to hear how other people take it and how they apply it to their lives. And I get to hear like a lot of really interesting stories about people. It just helps me like get to know people, which is really cool.
I think if you're sensitive, more sensitive or an empath or anything like that, I think that you love hearing other people's stories. And then I think that's kind of like confirmation of like, ah, what I've been through isn't in vain. It makes a difference. Thank goodness. I'm crossing the path that I'm supposed to. So
Oh, yeah.
what is coming up for you as far as upcoming music shows? What do you have coming up?
Yeah, so I've got a few shows coming up in the next few weeks, like around Halloween time. I'm playing an acoustic set on the 15th, which is coming up very fast.
It
And
is.
these are like Nashville-based shows. And so I'm just gonna do like an acoustic set at Flamingo on October 15th. And then I'm also headlining a Halloween like masquerade ball
How fun.
in Nashville, which is going to be really cool. Like
Fun.
I've never done anything like that. So I'm
That's
really
fun.
excited to like dress up.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Yeah, that's really fun. And kind of looking into next year, I've been producing my own music, and I feel like with each project that I work on, I just learn so much more about producing, because I taught myself how to, you know, push all the buttons and stuff. I've been in the room with other producers like over the years, and I picked up on some things, but I'm actually like figuring out like, what does this button do? Yeah, so I'm looking forward to releasing more self-produced songs, and I think the songs that I have lined up so far are kind of just digging deeper into that mental health world, because over this past year I released a lot of more like breakup focused songs, and those were all songs that I wrote in 2022 while I was actively going through a breakup. And so now that I'm minding my own business and in a completely different place, I'm really looking forward to focusing on more topics that I currently struggle with, or things that I'm thinking about. So I'm looking forward to those songwriting topics to come out, and I want to spark conversations about it. I think something that comes to mind is like nostalgia. I think whenever I like look back on my past and I see past versions of myself, there's grief that comes with it. There could be a whole slew of emotions that come with it. And I think for me, nostalgia just holds a lot of emotion for me, and I want to write about it and talk about it and, you know.
Yeah, I would love to have you on when that comes out. We often in the group that I lead and the people that I teach, we talk about the hardest thing to cut energetic cords with is your prior self, because
Yeah.
when you're doing it, there's grief that comes with it, and you think there's not going to be grief, but it is your past self literally dying and moving away, and you're morphing into a new person. And I would love to move through some of that music with you. I think it would be impactful.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can fans support you? How can people support you out just at shows, online, anything like that?
Yeah, so I have a lot of music out online right now. All my music is out on Spotify and Apple Music, anywhere you buy or stream your music. And I also have some CDs on my website. I have three CDs, and they're all kind of like compilations of songs that I have put out, and then some others that are unreleased. And you can get them on my website, carolinedaremusic.com, and you can get them signed or unsigned, whatever you prefer. I'm also in the works of like getting a vinyl on the storefront. So I'm
People
working on
always
that.
want the vinyl. They went
Yes.
from that, and now they do. Now they do.
Yes. So if anybody wants to like actually buy like buy
Yeah.
something, you can get like CDs
Sure.
and
Yeah. I'll
actually
be.
buy music in this day and age.
I know. I know. Isn't it crazy? I talk a lot with musicians on how it's changed, of how it's like, buy the merchandise. That's the only way they make music. Just buy the merchandise. Just true. It's true. If someone is in a very dark place, or if someone's struggling and they don't know what to do, I like to hold a conversation just on what recommendations and ideas that you may have that may have helped you.
Yeah, I think as we were kind of talking a little bit about earlier, I think having the awareness is really important and acknowledging the way that you're feeling and taking note. And I think it's really easy for us to judge ourselves if we're struggling. I do this all the time because, you know, as somebody who's struggle with mental health for years, and you know, healing is definitely not linear, so we have like ups and downs. And sometimes when I get to like a lower point after being in a better place, it's easy for me to be like, well, I was doing so good. Like, did I just lose all my progress? Or, you know, like, am I completely just falling back to square one? Like, is it ever going to get better? Am I ever going to get
Yeah.
to that good feeling ever again? It's really easy to do that, but something that I've been practicing is acknowledging how I'm feeling and in what ways I'm struggling and using it as information instead of judgment. It's like, okay, I'm having a harder time getting out of bed in the morning, and I wasn't really struggling with that, you know, maybe 6 months ago.
Right.
Let me reflect and kind of ask questions. I think it's a time to get to know yourself and ask yourself questions. Ask yourself, what do you think you need? And you know, what's been going on in your life recently? Try to pinpoint a trigger if you can. Just kind of like absorbing the information and really understanding yourself as to like why you might be functioning the way that you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's allowed me to hold more compassion for myself, instead of that judgment of like, oh, you shouldn't be struggling. You shouldn't
Yeah.
be, you know, you have this and you have that, like you have a good life, like you shouldn't be struggling. I think that's a very harsh and judgmental,
Sure.
narrow-minded way to look at it. And so, yeah, my advice is to keep holding compassion for yourself. And it's easy to feel alone in it, but there are so many resources that you can reach out to. There's always, you know, the hotlines. therapy isn't always accessible to everyone, but you know, I think they're working on some more affordable options. And also, like, it's also easy to feel like a burden trying to reach out to somebody. But I think the more vulnerable you are in your friendships, you know, with people that you trust, obviously, kind of just dipping your toes in the water and just kind of sharing, you know, you don't have to go into like full detail or anything, but just saying, like, I'm just kind of struggling a little bit right now. It can really open the door to a conversation that can ultimately help you. So, baby steps.
Baby steps, and we don't often share the same compassion for ourselves that we do for other people. So I think that's
No.
we're so great in listening to everybody else, and then that often I think is also just a response for us not to have to do inner work. Like, who can I take care of right now so I don't have to take care of myself? It does happen. It really does. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you want to share with us about your story, your journey, music, anything like that?
I'm just really excited to keep holding the door open for these conversations. I'm so passionate about everyone's well-being, and I think that everyone deserves to be healthy and well and supported. So I just want to keep spreading that message that you're cherished, you're loved, and
You matter.
people do care about you, and that everyone's lives hold so much importance, and sometimes we don't see that. So
You matter. I had taken a class one time and it said to know your passion, pretend like you're standing on the top of a mountain and think about all the people standing down at the bottom of the mountain, and you only had 5 seconds to tell them something that they could take with them forever. And when I did that, I was like, you matter. Like, you matter. Like, you matter so much. And so that's something you and I have in common. It's people feel like a burden anymore and they hurt. Everybody's hurting. This world is not a friendly place most of the time. So you do matter. Everyone matters. I appreciate you so much for being an advocate and using your music as this healing modality for so many people, where otherwise it just wouldn't be there. So,
Yeah, of course. Well, that means a lot. Thank you for reaching out to me and listening to the music, and I'm happy that you can connect with it too.
absolutely, absolutely. We are behind you as well. Many different people in the group, and they all actually connected with so many different aspects of it. So you're so much appreciated and such a light truly in the world. So we do appreciate you.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for coming on. And let's reconnect, especially after the new year, once you have new music out and things like that, if you'd like.
Yes, absolutely. I'm gonna start the year out with all the deep stuff. So
I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Bring
yeah.
on the healing. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life with KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, KittyLynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.